Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
The skit begins by asking us, what does Christmas sound like to you? To some of us, what we have just watched may sound a lot like our own family. When life crises come visiting, sometimes it's just overwhelming. But are these isolated cases? Are these isolated events? In October 22nd, 1939, a famous English scholar and writer, C.S. Lewis, addressed a group of young Oxford students in light of the impending involvement of Great Britain in World War II. He knows many of them will lose their lives when they go to war. And this is what he said. I think it important to try to see the present calamity in a true perspective. The war creates no new situation, absolutely no new situation. It simply aggravates the permanent human situation so that we can no longer ignore it. Human life has always been lived on the edge of a precipice. We are mistaken when we compare war with normal life. Life has never been normal. Even those periods which we think most tranquil turn out, on closer inspection, to be full of crises, alarms, difficulties, emergencies. You see, circumstances such as war or pandemic do not create a new reality. They simply bring the actual reality home more forcefully. The truth remains that whether our outward circumstances appear to be calm or whether we are being caught in the midst of a storm, we are still mortals living in a fallen world subject to numerous things beyond our own control. In the skit, the Tan family faces issues that we can relate, that we encounter sometimes almost on a daily basis. In truth, these experiences of suffering and pain that the Tan family has is part and parcel of life. So how do we process these things? You know, there are many things people cannot agree on. But in life, there are two events that everyone across all generations will agree. Number one, we are all born, right? We are not made in a factory. We didn't come down from an asteroid. We are born from a mother. Number two, some of you may have guessed, we will all die. Now, between these two events is the period we call life. We all know that in life we face numerous issues, but what is life all about? How do we come to terms with life and all the good and bad events that are part of it? Across history and civilizations, many have come up with different ideas of how we should take note of this life, or how do we come to terms with life. Generally, there are two camps. Camp number one. Camp number one says this: there is a supreme creator or creators, and we need to follow everything that has been told in order to gain favor in this life or afterlife. There is a set of do's and don'ts that we must do, that we must adhere to. The second camp is right on the other end of the spectrum. There is nothing before birth, and there will be nothing after death. So this is the life that we have. Live and do anything that you please, that you want. But you know, there is a third camp. And it is the reason Christians all over the world celebrate Christmas. And it is God with us. Let me explain. The narrative of life in the Bible is that there is a supreme creator that brings forth all existence that we know today. We know it's a fact that the entire cosmos, as far as we see, down to the quantum particles involved in our existence is extremely complex. So it's not far-fetched to accept that there is a creator who designs all there is in existence. The Bible tells us that we, humans, are part of this existence, but made a bit differently. We were designed to be like the creator and tasked to manage the entire existence together with creator himself. Now, we don't have to look far to know that. From all that we know until today, we as a species is truly different from every other living beings or living things in the world. But you see, humans decided that we can make it on our own terms. We can chart our own paths to glorious success. And the truth is that when we strayed away from our Creator and decided to chart our paths, we chart paths to destruction. It's also a fact that mankind has committed too many atrocities, war crimes, and needless destruction to one another and also to the planet. We also don't need to look too far to know that many of us live a life that we find that is meaningless, joyless, and lacking in peace. But this Creator did not give up on us, and He wants to restore all the problems that we have created. A problem stemmed from us being away from the Creator. And He wants to communicate with all of us. The question is, are we willing to listen? Now, logically speaking, right, when you want to ensure an important message to get through, you're not just going to send a message. You're not going to send a WhatsApp message, right? You may follow up with a phone call. You may write a letter, or at least in the past, people write letter. Get a friend or a messenger to send this message over to that person. Or even better still, you yourself go and tell that person so that this message gets across, because it's so important. And that's exactly what the Creator did. He chose to make Himself known to us across time and through multiple writers so that there are no chance of bias. Now, this is where the Bible comes in. 66 books in total, written by no less than 40 writers across a time span of, guess it, 1,500 years. All telling the same story, that the Creator of everything wants to restore this existence to its original state. A state where life is meaningful, life is joyous, and life is peaceful. So the Bible is not a fiction made up by a person or a group of people at a particular time point. The Creator, in His wisdom, tells the story of His plan to save mankind throughout the ages using different situations that we understood. Now, there is one particular situation recorded in the Bible that makes me sit up and want to know Jesus and Christianity better. This was recorded in chapter 10 of a book called The Gospel According to John. But I'll give you some context to this, and I will start with chapter 9. Now, there was a man whose entire life has been a challenge, a man who faced uncertainty on a daily basis. Because he was born blind, but on one Sabbath day, and in those days it's a Saturday, it's a day that no work can be done according to the Jewish custom, Jesus restored this man's vision. Now, it caused a pandemonium in the temple because the religious leaders do not want to believe that the man was originally blind. In fact, in the Bible, the blind man's parents were called in and went on record to say that he has been blind all his life. The religious leaders did not want to believe what had happened in front of their eyes, because they have a list of do's and don'ts that everybody must follow to be considered holy, righteous, and godly, right? So these are the people which I will call in camp number one. So in John chapter 9, 16, it says this. Some of the Pharisees, this man is not from God, right? So They are questioning about it among themselves. Now, regardless of whether people believe Jesus or not, Jesus demonstrated the heart of the Creator, and that is to restore what was broken. When he met the blind man, he did not say that, oh, today is the Sabbath day. It's not the day to heal you. Wait until tomorrow. No, he does not wait. When the blind man went to him on that day and said, I want to see again, Jesus healed him. And for the blind man, when he was asked, do you really believe this person? Surely this Jesus who heals you, he cannot be God because he healed you on a Sabbath day. He must be a sinner. And this blind man, this is what the blind man said to all the religious leaders. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. Never. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Later on, when Jesus saw all these things that's going on, he went and explained and told the religious leaders and the crowd around about who he is. And in chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said this, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And very importantly is this verse that I find so important. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said that he has come so that we may all have life and have it to the full. He went on to say that he's the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the third camp. There is a supreme creator, and the creator himself has come to set us free. Any debt we owe to God, any failures or incompatibility with God because of our hard-headedness or whatever, you know, has been wiped off. It's like a person has so much debt that he will go bankrupt, but somebody steps in and say, your debt has been repaid. Start afresh. There's no sets of do's and don'ts that you must obey, that you must do in order to earn the favor. The favor is automatically given to everyone. Christmas is the occasion we Christians celebrate because this is an important milestone in human history, that God, the Creator, came down to earth and be with his creation in order to save us and bring us all back to what it was meant to be, a life of meaning, a life of joy, and a life full of peace. Jesus says he came to us so that we may have life, have it abundantly, have it in full. And real life starts not when we die. Real life starts when we give our lives to Jesus. It starts when we are still alive. And this is a gift. And a gift that requires the recipient to receive. Now, some may think, is this for real? How is it even possible? Does it even make sense? And throughout history, there are many great minds who are Christians, and they have bear testimony to all who comes after. I would like to quote a few examples. The first person, Sir Isaac Newton. You may, probably most of you know about him. He's a pioneer of modern physics, right? He discovered the laws of gravity and motion, invented calculus. Some of you hate it, some of you love it. Now, this is what he said. All my discoveries have been made in answer to prayer. And I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God, written by men who were inspired. I study the Bible daily. The other person, Louis Pasteur. The word Pasteur probably tells you what it is, right? Pasteurization. Pioneer in bacteriology. He disproved the false scientific belief called spontaneous generation. Now, it has been believed by people since even pagan times that life could emerge from non-life by natural processes. Sounds familiar, right? It still is. There are people who still believe in that today. He demonstrated the law of biogenesis, that life only comes from life. Just like all of us, we are born of another life. We are not made out of nothing. His work led to pasteurization, vaccination, immunization, something we are all very familiar nowadays. And this is what he said: the more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. Science brings men nearer to God. And in more recent time, Lee Strobel, an award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. So what happened was, he set out to disprove the Bible using modern method of journalistic investigation after his wife became a Christian. He was so angry. He thought that, oh, my wife is going to be this religious person. I'm going to prove that this, all this belief is nothing. Now, after probing the evidence for Jesus for nearly 2 years, Lee himself became a Christian in 1981. And he continued to be one that lead, and he leads church nowadays. And this is what he said: it was the evidence from science and history that prompted me to abandon my atheism and become a Christian. The other one: to continue in atheism, I would need to believe that nothing produces everything. Non-life produces life. Randomness produces fine-tuning. Chaos produces information. Unconsciousness produces consciousness. And non-reason produces reason. I simply didn't have that much faith. Now, I have long pondered about this when I was growing up. And as a teenager, I often wonder, why do we even exist at all? You see, I grew up in a typical house that embraced Confucian practices. We pray to the Chinese deities, you know, and to ancestors. We have tablet inside the house, in the front and at the back. And we go to temple every now and again. And since I'm from Malacca, I get a chance to go to the oldest temple in Malaysia, right? And when I walk through the temple, I remember thinking to myself, wow, these are gods. They must be miserable because they're stuck there. So I'm a person who cannot sit still, okay? Like Uncle Tan there, right? Wants to get out. So I really felt for the statues, the gods that were just placed there and they could not move. And it troubles me a lot. But many people seem to think that these are God and they are mightier than them. And I suppose when one faces life challenges like the ones that the Tan family experienced, we can understand the pressure to find solace, to find comfort and solution wherever or whatever it may be. When I came to KL to study, I found out more about Christian faith. But I cannot understand how this God creator that is all powerful and beyond understanding is also a man named Jesus. Now, there was one Sunday afternoon. I sat down and I told myself, I list down three things. First, I said, now, I'm not the smartest person around. That I recognize. Okay, there are a lot of people much smarter than me, like Isaac Newton, Louis Pasteur, so many more, in fact. And all these brilliant minds that have studied the Bible and found that it to be completely coherent and make sense. Okay, so I say, I must make a note of that. There must be something there. Number two, still, I don't know whether there will be heaven or hell, or it's just nothing. It's also a possibility, right? Then number three, I wrote down, or I didn't write down, I was thinking to myself then. But if what this Jesus said is true, I came that they may have life and have it to the full, you know, I think the right term today is called FOMOLA, fear of missing out, right? Now, I say that if there's no God, then there's nothing to worry about even if I follow. But if there is, maybe it also makes sense to hedge my bet. And I need to talk to this so-called God. So I walk out to the garden. I was renting a house, a double-story terrace house. I walk out to the garden. Not garden, it's all, you know, cemented, right? And I said, let this be recorded. So what I did was that I went up to the heavens, and I said, I show a fist to the heaven. Let this be recorded. 2 points. First, if there is a God out there, help me to believe that you are real. Help me to believe, and I will follow in your ways. Point number two, if there is a God out there, and you did not help me to believe, and I die, and I appear in front of you on Judgment Day, remember point number one, okay? Very important. So it's not my fault, and you cannot send me to hell. Now, I was very earnest, like I was really, really serious. It's not makeup one, it's really, I was very serious with this. So I said, after that, I thought, that's a bit clever. So either way, I win, right? I kid you not. On the very same day, a group of Christians came, right? And explained to me that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. Now, to cut a long story short, I said, okay, I accepted the Lord, the gift of Jesus. Now, in looking back, I learned that this Creator, whom I now know as God, is extremely gracious in nature. Despite my lack of respect, decorum, and all my failings, God came to me in humility and invited me to journey through life with Him. I now know that this same God appeared as a man 2,000 years ago and walked among us, telling us in person why we are special, why each one of us special, and why we will only have life to its fullest if we are connected back to God, the Creator Himself. Now, Paul, one of the writers in the Bible, wrote this some years after he became a Christian. Paul was a persecutor of Christians because he hated this so-called Christian. He said, it cannot be true. I will persecute them. I will destroy them. But he also discovered God. And this is what he said. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this sounds a lot like grace to me. We are going to present a song and dance. And during this time, I would like to suggest that you think about this gift that the Creator of everything is offering to you. Like the Tan family on the skit, we all face challenges in one way or another. Because of God's mighty grace, there's Christmas, a gift that God is with us so that we can have life, and life in abundance, regardless of our life circumstances.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.